Drive time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. New year, seize the moment. Talk to a financial broker today about a Zurich pension.
In the last 10 minutes, President Joe Biden has been giving his inaugural address live on west front of the US Capitol building. And he, as I said before the news and as you heard in the headlines, he has called for reconciliation and unity and solidarity right across the nation of the United States of America. He's thanked the predecessors of both parties, his predecessors in the office he holds now, for attending a sideswipe, you would think, at Donald Trump for not being there. He cited the sacred oath first taken by George Washington. He said, he mentioned the various challenges that are ahead for the United States. And he said, we'll press forward with speed and with urgency because they had much to gain in doing so. And the challenges that he cited were COVID, that has closed hundreds of thousands of businesses, as he's put it, and has taken as many lives in one year as were taken in all of World War II. And he also talked about climate change, white supremacy, domestic terrorism. And he also said those who cry for racial justice, well, the dream of justice for all will be delayed no longer. Joining me now to discuss and dissect some of that speech and the challenges ahead for President Biden are Professor Daniel Carey of NUI Galway, Matt Klink, a Republican strategist, and Bonnie Greer, who's a US-born writer and commentator. And you're all very welcome to the programme. I might turn to you, Bonnie Greer, first of all. It's a plea for reconciliation and unity and solidarity. But can President Biden unite a very divided America, in your opinion?
Well, thank you for having me on. He's actually still talking, so let me see. Yes, he can. First of all, remember, we had a civil war. I don't think you can get more divided than that, and came through it. And I'm not saying this to be flippant. It's just that it is possible to do it. He's going to have to it's going to be a lot of investigation as to what's going on in terms of the white supremacist movement, which the FBI said was the number one terror threat in the United States. So now we have to take that very seriously. But we also have to take the roots of what that is. And we do know from history a lot of what it is and what's been meshed into it. But I think it's possible. I do.
Okay.
I'm very hopeful.
And this is a hopeful day for you?
For me?
Yes, Bonnie?
Absolutely. I mean, the first African-American, South Asian woman and woman made President of the United States, the vice president is male and Jewish. It's just a complete and beautiful example of what this country is at its roots. It's a nation of immigrants and seeking a more perfect union.
Mm-hmm. But can I turn to Professor Daniel Carey, because I was listening to or reading a recent article of yours, and you said, in relation to Donald Trump and him leaving the White House, you said the norm-busting, ludicrous, calculated, dangerous, and inept president leaves behind a damaged country. Now, the question for you, I suppose, is how damaged is America and how big is a challenge for President Biden?
Doubt about that. And I think the country is in a very difficult and parlous condition, particularly after the events of the 6th of January. There's a lot of recovery to be done there. We don't know all the facts of the case, but the shattering events of that moment are going to reverberate for a long time. So really, to come back to your first question about where we go from here, a lot of it depends on whether Republicans are willing to reach out themselves. There's a lot of emphasis on Biden reaching out, but I think it's very important for those Republicans, in particular Trump, and those supporting him are willing to, in effect, lay down their arms, both metaphorically and literally.
And isn't that a key question, Matt Klink? You're a Republican strategist. In a way, Donald Trump may be gone, but within a week or 2 weeks, we will have the resumption of politics as usual in the United States. Two parties, bipartisan, very divisive, Democratic versus Republican. In a way, nothing changes.
Well, nothing changes, but the status quo has worked by and large from a legislative perspective for 240 years. And I think that if we can get back to what I would consider a normal legislative calendar with respectful debate on both sides, I think that what Joe Biden said about, stop the shouting and lowering the temperature, if both parties heed that call, because, again, it's not just Joe Biden, it is not Minority Leader McCarthy or Minority Leader McConnell, it takes all. And I think that, Speaker Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, they have a role to play in this, too. And if both caucuses are instructed to work together, and I think Joe Biden is going to be smart here. He's going to look for legislation that can bring people together initially, perhaps a large infrastructure bill, which will create jobs across the United States. It's really easy to start picking apart things and going after people and targeting different groups. If that happens, every side will revert back to his or her corner. Mm-hmm. But I think that Joe Biden has a real opportunity here if he wants to take it. And I think that he sounds like he's going to.
But he won't be helped by Republicans. Yeah, but Bonnie, go on, please.
With respect, it was the Republican Party, Republican legislators in the lower house who literally challenged the election, who literally actually went and challenged the election in states they didn't belong to. It didn't actually make any sense, because their election then would have been challenged. So that didn't fall down. So one thing that's important, and I think the gentleman is absolutely right, we all have to come together. But we also have to have a reckoning. We have to understand what happened so that we don't let this happen again. When you have a situation where the legislature is sacked, practically, by people who are saying they're speaking in the name of a president of the United States, this is something that history is going to dissect. And the Republican Party is not going to come out too well. So
And
this is something we shouldn't gloss over. This is very important. And it can be healed. It can be fixed. But we have to note this moment, because it has never happened before.
Matt?
And yet Donald Trump is now gone. And Joe Biden's electoral college votes were confirmed, and today he became the 46th president of the United States. The system ultimately worked. So if you want to get your pound of flesh out of the Republican Party, there are 74 million Americans that voted for Donald Trump that are going to have some issues with that. So we could keep going back all the way till, when the country was originally founded with these biases. Either we make a decision, we're going to move forward, or we're not. So if
the
you
Capitol
want to
was sacked. The Capitol was attacked. That's never happened before. I mean, the last time it happened
and yet our
was the War
prevailed.
Of 1812.
Bonnie,
it was
and
the
yet
British.
Our country prevailed.
Can I put this question? We have to talk about this.
This is silly.
And on that, can I put this question to you, Matt? I wonder, can the country move forward in any meaningful way if the Republican Party doesn't look at itself and take on accountability for what happened in the last 4 years? I mean, right up until the moment, as Bonnie says, the Capitol was attacked. An insurrection happened. And in Mitch McConnell's own words, provoked by the Republican president, supported by Republican senators, supported by Republican politicians. I wonder, can the Republican Party move on, as you say, until they are fully cognizant and accept responsibility for what happened?
Okay, well, one, I don't believe that the entire Republican Party has to accept responsibility for what happened. They will find out certainly what went on, and they will take actions. But the last thing we need is Democrats telling us how to reform the Republican Party. So there will be some sort of truth commission where all of the facts will come out, and that will happen. But I thought that the point of moving forward was we can talk about what the Democrats may want to do to the Republicans, but the more important issue here is what are we going to do to move the nation forward? And I think that that's what Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi the minority leader in the House, Kevin McCarthy, should focus on. They have time to do the other thing, but if that consumes all of the above, then we're not moving this country forward. And Bonnie, you can focus on the events, and that can be your guiding light for the next 4 years. But I have to tell you, in 2 years, there's a congressional election with Republican legislatures controlling the majority of the states, and states that Republicans won pick up seats in redistricting. So retribution works both ways.
I'm absolutely stunned that an American can be so cavalier about what happened. I'm not talking about spending every second on what happened. No, not at all. But there's going to be a trial in the Senate of the United States, and it's going to be about this. And this is something that a foreign audience needs to understand. This was a desecration, and we mustn't act as if someone dropped a popcorn bottle on the steps of the Capitol. This was serious. And of course we have to come together, and we will come together. But we do have to take this moment to let people understand that this was serious, and a major party in the United States, our other party.
Okay. Well, it's quite clear. Quite clear from listening to the two of you, and I say this with the greatest of respect, how big the challenge is for America and for President Biden. But can I bring in Professor Daniel Carey for just a moment? I mean, the challenges are numerous, and President Biden mentioned them in the first few lines of his speech. But what if the solution for moving America forward lies neither in the Republican Party nor in the Democratic Party? Because there is an argument to be had that goes along the lines of saying, look, the policies that got us to the point where Donald Trump took office were pursued by both parties.
Well, I mean, you know, it is fundamentally a two-party system. I mean, there have been third-party candidates and independents who've been important in presidential elections. But, I mean, it really is a case of reaching across the aisle, so the dynamic is pretty much set in place. I don't think that that's much of a doubt. Obviously, the Democrats now have control of the Senate by the narrowest possible margin, with a deciding vote by the vice president in narrowly contested issues. So that's not a lot of room to work with, and they don't have much of a majority in the House either. So under those conditions, you have to find people working together on a legislative program. Whatever we do about the events of the 6th and moving forward in terms of addressing it and getting to the bottom of it into some truth and possible reconciliation, I agree with that, but legislatively going forward, there's going to have to be some basis of compromise politics, some sense of working collaboratively working together.
Okay,
Biden was certainly signaling that desire very strongly in his speech.
Can I? You mentioned the speech. We have a clip from his speech, as you say, Bonnie Greer. He was still talking when we commenced our conversation. But let's hear a little bit of what he had to say while we were having our conversation.
My fellow Americans, I close the day where I began, with a sacred oath. Before God and all of you, I give you my word. I will always level with you. I will defend the Constitution. I'll defend our democracy. I'll defend America. And I'll give all of you, keep everything I do in your service, thinking not of power, but of possibilities, not of personal interest, but the public good. And together we shall write an American story of hope, not fear, of unity, not division, of light, not darkness, a story of decency and dignity, love and healing, greatness and goodness. May this be the story that guides us, the story that inspires us, and the story that tells ages yet to come that we answered the call of history. We met the moment. Democracy and hope, truth and justice did not die on our watch, but thrive. That America secured liberty at home and stood once again as a beacon to the world. That is what we owe our forebears, one another, and generation to follow. So, with purpose and resolve, we turn to those tasks of our time. Sustained by faith, driven by conviction, and devoted to one another and the country we love with all our hearts, May God bless America, and may God protect our troops. Thank you, America.
And they were the closing remarks of his speech. Let me get a some closing comments from the three of you, Professor Daniel Carey of NUI Galway, Matt Klenk, Republican strategist, and Bonnie Greer as well, before we bring this conversation to a close. I mean, he has huge challenges, as we've been outlining, and he also has a very powerful force by his side now, the Vice President, Kamala Harris. Bonnie Greer, how much of a force will she be? Will she be different in any other way to previous VPs?
I think so. I think he's selected her to be his partner in every sense of the word in relation to being president. And so she'll be kind of co-president. And I think that's really very important. And one last thing I'd like to say in relation to the speech is that Americans are dreamers. We dream. And we do want to move toward unity. There isn't any question of it. And so I hope that all of us, even as we're nursing our wounds and our divisions and our anger and our rage, that we can remember that there is this thing that we're moving toward, which is that more perfect union. And I think that that was a beautiful, calm and uplifting speech to remind us of that.
Matt Klenk, Joe Biden, Professor President Biden said that the dream of justice for all will be delayed no longer. Now, is that a dream that can be accomplished, or is inequality so deep-rooted in America that it'll be impossible to change?
It's clearly been part of America's history, and it will always be, at some level, a part of America's history. As Bonnie so eloquently stated when she quoted Joe Biden, we do search for a more perfect union, and we strive to get better and improve things with every successive generation or every president. Joe Biden has a tremendous opportunity. I think that his remarks today struck on both the seriousness of the struggles that America faces, but also of the promise that can be the future if we work together. And I, you know, clearly the word of the day for now President Biden was unity. And let's hope that some unity does break out in the Capitol, because after 4 years of a pretty up and down relationship, we certainly need it.
A brief comment from you, Professor Daniel Carey. 4 years ago, we had calls to drain the swamp in Washington from President Trump. Today, one of the longest serving politicians in U.S. politics, Joe Biden, takes office. I mean, how big a change is that?
Well, that's a striking fact. And also the move to select presidential candidates from the Senate is rather interesting. That's quite different. I mean, Trump was way out of the ordinary, put it that way, with no political experience. But normally Americans have gone to the state house. They haven't gone to the Senate. So that he brings a lot of experience. His foreign relations experience will matter there. But I think more of it's just a kind of steady hand, somebody who's been there, who's seen the conflicts, lived through them, survived them in his own personal life, in his political life. And I think that may give reassurance to Americans. He's likely to be a one-term president. That's a very different dynamic. Mm-hmm. So we're entering, you know, quite different waters. I'm hoping that he'll be a source of inspiration and that people will follow that leadership. But it's one of those great questions. We don't know.
Okay.
We'll have to see.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much indeed for joining us on what is an historic day. Professor Daniel Carey, Matt Klenk, and Bonnie Greer. Thank you.